Welcome to I'll Bring the Bible with Mel
and Monica.
And today we're going to be talking about the Passover, right?
Yes. We are so excited to be talking about the Passover.
And we have a very special guest with us. Who's our guest, Monica?
Our guest is Rabbi Howard Silverman of the Beth Messiah Congregation. So welcome, Howard.
Hey, thank you very much. Great to be with you.
Howard, we have a very important question for you. And that is, what is your favorite Easter candy? Since it's around Easter
time. My favorite Easter candy. Well, you know, to be perfectly honest, I was about to say chocolate covered matzah, maybe something like that.
Oh, it's as close as
I could get. I'm not a big Easter candy guy. I'm not a big candy guy. Try to be neutral in that area, but
Wow.
It's all good.
Everybody loves the Easter eggs that are shaped
the Cadbury Reese's.
Well, anything that's Reese's is okay. Yeah. Whatever shape it is.
Well, that's its own. Reese's is its own food group. So
you can't go wrong with peanut butter and chocolate. How about yours, Mom?
You can't. Whether it's an egg or a bunny rabbit, it's all good.
Right, right. I think that there's going to probably be Reese's peanut butter cups in heaven. Maybe. I don't know.
It's got to be.
I'll have to check that out.
But I like the Cadbury eggs.
Oh, yeah. Those are good with the creamy center.
Yeah.
So do you feel like the orange in the center tastes like orange?
I don't know that I've ever noticed.
I have. It does taste like orange.
Okay. Noted.
Do you want to know my favorite candy?
I thought you already said.
I didn't.
Oh, what's your favorite candy?
My favorite, well, one of my favorites, I have many, is the Peeps. Have you ever heard of Peeps, Rabbi Howard?
I have heard of Peeps. Indeed.
The Peeps are marshmallow. And what I like to do is I open up the package right away and I put them away like on the top of the refrigerator and I wait a couple of days so they get stale and chewy and I eat the Peeps that way.
Very good. That sounds very happy. I'll have to check it out. I will check out.
It's like manna from heaven.
It's not like manna from heaven.
Right there.
You might have to referee on this one.
It's all right. It's good to have favorite things to eat.
Right.
I'm just kidding. Rabbi Howard, would you mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yes. Again, it's an honor to be with you today. And again, my name is Howard Silverman, and I'm the rabbi at Beth Messiah Congregation. And Beth Messiah is the Messianic Jewish congregation. That means our worship is ethnically Jewish in a Jewish context. And we might wonder, well, what does that mean, right? Well, we're a congregation of Jewish and Gentile believers in Jesus, the Messiah. We call him Yeshua, the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And what's Jewish about us is the terminology that we use. We sing songs that, frankly, have kind of a Jewish sound to them, but all about the Lord, all about the Messiah. And our services are on Saturdays instead of Sundays. We refer to ourselves as a congregation and not a church. And symbolism in words, you know, really communicate a lot of things. So we don't have a cross or anything like that. We believe in the cross. We believe, you know, in the finished work of the Messiah. But, you know, in the Jewish community, a cross or calling ourselves a church is tantamount to saying, you know, that's not for me. And we want to be a testimony to the Jewish community that Yeshua, that Jesus is indeed the Messiah of Israel. So by our words, the way we carry ourselves, how we worship, that's what we try to accomplish.
Wow, that's some great information. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things in there I didn't even know. So cool.
Right. Today, we wanted to talk about Passover, and what better person to discuss the Passover with other than a rabbi?
Yep.
There you go.
But we may have listeners who aren't really sure what Passover is or have very little understanding. Can you give us just a brief overview of exactly what Passover is and why it's significant in both the lives of Christians and Jews?
Well, sure. Passover is really, in a way, the intersection where Christianity and Judaism kind of meet. Mm-hmm. Passover is the holiday that celebrates the exodus of the Jewish people out of Egypt. It's an interesting holiday in that throughout the Bible, we're called to remember the Passover and to celebrate it. In fact, we read in Exodus, you know, chapter 12, that's where the Passover is talked about, where the Exodus story, the 10 plagues, mm-hmm. the Jews were slaves in Egypt, and God raised up Moses to bring the Jewish people out of Egypt through the miraculous 10 plagues. And we read about that in the beginning of Exodus. And the 10th plague was, of course, the death of the firstborn in Egypt. And God told Moses to tell the Jewish people to take a lamb and to kill the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, and that God would pass over all of the homes in Egypt, and wherever he saw the blood on the door, the firstborn would live, right? And so in the scriptures, Israel is called to celebrate this every year with a ritual meal, to retell the story. And it is very interesting because you read, for example, in Exodus chapter 12, it says, "Now this day will be a memorial to you. You're to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." And then interestingly enough, in the next chapter, in the 13th chapter of Exodus, there's actually a verse that it tells us to make sure that we tell our children and our children's children. It says, "You shall tell your son or your child on that day, saying, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall serve as a sign on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth." And the passage goes on. In other places, it says, in fact, in the Ten Commandments regarding the Sabbath, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt." Israel is called not to be afraid to enter the land of Israel. And it says, "You shall not be afraid. You shall remember what the Lord did to Pharaoh and to Egypt." And then interestingly enough, Israel is to remember the Passover in the way that ethically and morally people are treated, human dignity. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, we read, "You shall not pervert the justice due an alien or an orphan, or take a widow's garment in a pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I am commanding you to, you know, to do this thing." So the point is, and I could go on and on, in the prophets, beg Israel, remember what God did for you back in Egypt. And so return to him, you know, repent. And so the Exodus out of Egypt is like the cornerstone of the relationship between God and Israel. And it is important because it kind of defines the relationship between God and Israel and between God and humanity, and that is as the deliverer.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. That was a lot of great information, some that I didn't even know.
Right.
Lots of stuff I'm learning. I'm just soaking it all in. So we've heard it said that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover. Can you explain this a little bit more?
Yes. So again, what we learn in the Passover is that God is the deliverer. God is the redeemer. And always in calling Israel back to himself, remember the Passover. Remember what I did for you when I brought you out of Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. It's always this point this great moment in history. Well, you know, all of the Jewish festivals, all the Jewish holidays, including or especially Passover, point to the life and ministry of Jesus, because he is indeed the deliverer. In a way, he is like a second Moses, bringing us out of Egypt, not a physical Egypt, but a spiritual Egypt, spiritual, you know, bondage. In the New Testament, we read, for example, the clearest place is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in verses 7 and 8, right? "Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ," or Messiah, as we would say, "our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so what Paul means when he says, Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed, he's saying that Jesus is like the Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. You know, the lamb died so the firstborn could live, right? Mm-hmm. So Jesus died so we could live, so that we could be redeemed out of bondage. And throughout the New Testament, there are different places where there's an echo of Passover. For example, when John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world, the phrase Lamb of God is referring to the Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is the Redeemer. He is another Moses, and he is the Lamb. And because of the Messiah, we have eternal life. We've been delivered from bondage. And so it's not a coincidence that Jesus celebrated Passover, that we read about Passover a number of times, you know, in the Gospels. And so, you know, the Last Supper, of course, was indeed a Passover celebration. And in the Passover celebration, Jesus points to himself. You know, the disciples, they did not know what was really going on, you know? And Jesus points to himself at different places in the celebration of Passover, where we're remembering the lamb back in Egypt. He points to himself. And so in that way, he fulfills what Passover is. Now, in fulfilling it, though, and this is something that, you know, we as Messianic Jews in a Messianic congregation, this is kind of maybe either, you know, unique to us or very important to us, that God never says in the New Testament, forget what I did for you when I brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, he never says, well, you know, now that Jesus has come, forget all that.
Right.
You don't need all that anymore. No, it's part of the redemption of Israel and the nations. And so it's very important that we celebrate Passover. We remember the covenant relationship that God has with Israel and the new covenant, and how whenever anybody comes to faith in Jesus, they're embracing the Messiah of Israel. And so in a way, this history becomes any believer in Jesus' history, even though it didn't happen to them. It's part of salvation history, redemption history, or we could say messianic history. And, you know, the celebration of Passover, or just the remembrance of these truths, reminds us that Christianity, you know, being a Christ follower or a Messiah follower, is really the essence of it is Jewish.
Yes.
You know, because we have to remember that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah for Israel and the nations, right? You know, in the Gospel of Luke, it says that he's a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. And so a remembrance of Passover is so important to Jews and should be important to Christians. And that's what I mean by this intersection, because when we celebrate Passover, Jewish people are remembering the lamb back in Egypt. And of course, Christians may not realize it, but in a way, all Christians celebrate Passover whenever they experience communion or the Lord's Supper, because we're lifting out of the celebration of Passover an aspect of it that, you know, that we engage in, the bread and the cup.
I think a lot of things that get lost in Christianity in general is we focus on being alive in Christ, but we sometimes forget what we've been delivered from. Right. And so I think that being reminded to remember that we were once, you know, in bondage.
Yes.
My family and I have celebrated Passover a handful of times, especially after a number of years ago, you came to our church, New Life, and basically showed us how to have a Seder dinner. And so my family and I kind of, we've adopted that as part of our normal celebration during this time. And we've used the resources that you gave us and then some other resources online. Can you tell us about the Seder meal though and the symbolism behind it?
Great, that's a great question. Because, you know, more and more Christians really have, have really begun to understand this, you know, what we're talking about. And the celebration of Passover, a lot of churches have seders. We have a big one ourselves in normal times. And so it's very important. So first of all, so Passover is usually celebrated at home. It's not like having a special service. It's actually a dinner. It's a dinner that we have. And it is interesting that families take the, take the initiative in celebrating it. Like when I was growing up, my relatives would come from out of town and it would be like a Thanksgiving event, mm-hmm. you know, yet it is like a worship service that takes place at home. We have this booklet that we use. It's called a Haggadah, which means the narrative or the story or the telling of Passover. And we go through it and we retell the story of Passover and we eat. Now, the way that the meal works, just very quickly here, there's three parts. The first part is a retelling of the story of Passover. And while we're retelling the story of Passover, at certain points, we eat foods that remind us of the bitterness of slavery and then like the sweetness of redemption. We eat unleavened bread called matzah, which is called the bread of affliction, remembering that we had to leave Egypt in a hurry and remembering that was the food that we ate as slaves in Egypt. And so we, you know, you're using a number of different senses. When you're telling the story, you're hearing something, you're saying something, you're eating something. It really is, very important. After we retell the story and we eat the ritual foods, then we have a big meal. We have a big festive meal. Now, in the Middle East, the tradition is to eat lamb, to actually eat lamb and all of that. But most Jews around the world do not eat lamb at Passover. Lamb is kosher, you know. But we don't eat lamb because there's no temple and there's no sacrifice. And so we don't eat lamb. And on our table, you know, we have these ritual foods. And so we have a bone of a lamb to remind us of the lamb back in Egypt, but that we don't have a temple. And that's very poignant because Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so we do have a lamb, the Messiah, the one who saves us from our sins. So it's very poignant. So that's the first part of the Seder. The second part is this big meal. We have chicken or brisket or and a lot of Jewish foods. We usually no ham or pork chops at the Passover Seder, right? for obvious reasons, right? We eat traditional Jewish meals, an ethnic kind of thing. Once the meal is over, we do something very interesting. We take matzah and a cup. And we remember the lamb, and we remember the blood of the lamb back in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And remember that the Last Supper was a Passover Seder, a Passover celebration. Mm-hmm. And Jesus took the bread and the cup and pointed to himself. And so he was teaching his disciples that he's the Passover lamb. There's something else we do that's absolutely fascinating. And that is, after we do that, someone goes to the front door of the house and we open up the door to see if Elijah is there. Why do we see if Elijah is there? To announce that the Messiah is coming. Because Elijah is supposed to come before the Messiah. And and we're always hoping that that the Messiah will come, because according to Jewish tradition, the Messiah is supposed to come at Passover.
Wow.
And every year the door's open, the door's closed, and Elijah's not there because the Messiah has come. right? And so it's really an amazing thing. I mean, in the Jewish community, in the Orthodox Jewish community, there's a hope and a desire that the Messiah is going to come at Passover. And so how poignant it is that Christians, celebrate the death and resurrection of the Messiah at this time of year and refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God. And here you have the Jewish community celebrating Passover, but not knowing that Yeshua, Jesus, is really the Messiah. And our desire in all of this is not only that Christians would know it, but be able to share this message, with a Jewish friend.
Right. Yeah. So you kind of already answered this question, but what if somebody who's not Jewish says, I'd like to participate in the Seder dinner like Monica's family does, but I don't really know if I should because I'm not Jewish. Should Christians participate in the Seder dinner?
That's fine. It's not a command. It's not like you must. As we would say, it couldn't hurt. You know what I mean? it's a good thing. But what I would say that the most important thing for Christian people is to know it, to be aware of it, to understand, Christian traditions in light of the Passover, to understand communion, to understand this identification with a Jewish tradition and celebration, and their participation in it. I think that the celebration of Passover is very enriching. And like I said, we at Beth Messiah, we have a big Passover Seder every year. We have, just a lot of people most people are not Jewish that come to it. And it's always an eye opener. It's always wonderful when people come for the first time I never knew that before. I never realized that before. So I think it's great. I think it deepens our walk with the Lord, which is the most important thing, and helps us to appreciate the Jewish heritage that Christians share with Jewish people. So I think it's fine. And there are plenty of materials, right, that are available to help people celebrate Passover. And so it's a good thing. Certainly it's a good thing, but I wouldn't want to say that, now that you're a believer in Jesus and you believe in the Messiah of Israel, you must do this or there's something wrong with you. You know what I mean? It's not like that, but it's certainly enriching. And if a person feels like, I'd like to do that, we think that's a good thing. Sure.
Yeah, that's been my experience. When we've had people over to participate in it, or even when it's just been my husband and I and our children, it's just, I really think that it enriching is a really great word. And just to really understand from a biblical theology mindset of seeing how it all works together, and to see that there was a plan for Christ back then all along, has just been a real blessing to us.
I've never participated in one, but I would like to.
So last question, and you touched on it a little bit, but is there anything distinctive about the Passover Jesus had with the disciples that you would like to tell us about?
Well, I was just going to say about that, just to remember, first of all, that Jesus did celebrate it, that Jesus and the disciples did celebrate the Passover. And in the Gospel of John, everything from chapter 13 through chapter 16 takes place at that dinner. All that teaching, it takes place at that Passover celebration. And it was at that dinner, that's where Jesus tells them that he's leaving. That's where he tells them he's the Lamb, and he's going to die, right? Even though they still did not quite understand it. But I think the most important thing is that they really celebrated, that these were Jewish people celebrating a Jewish holiday that God had called the Jews to celebrate, thousands of years earlier, and that they were part of the Jewish world at that time. I think that's the most important thing outside of the, when Jesus takes the bread, it was unleavened bread, it was matzah, and he takes the wine, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. That's a huge statement, you know? Do this in remembrance of me. Like, wow. You know, he's saying something very significant there. Yeah.
This is a group of men that would have been experiencing the Passover since they were babies.
Exactly, their whole lives. And they knew how to celebrate Passover, and you don't say that. you know, you're remembering God. You're remembering that redemption back in Eden. He says me.
So there would be kind of like a moment, like a, yes, a very dramatic, yep, kind of, I like the drama in it. And I kind of like how the drama unfolds there with Judas and right, people asking, is it I, Lord? And him washing the disciples' feet. And I just think
that's part of the, you know, that is also very interesting. Now, nobody knows this for sure, but there's a part of the beginning of the Passover Seder where there's a washing of hands. Mm-hmm. And it's significant that he washes their feet. It shows humility and love, rather than self-exaltation, you know, that kind of thing. Also dipping the sop, part of that also is a part of this Passover Seder. And so it's very interesting. And then later on, when Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is talking about this, he says, when he quotes Jesus saying, you know, do this in remembrance of me, he says that Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance. That's very interesting, because he's not saying as often as you have communion, mm-hmm. you know, or as often as you remember me. No, as often as you celebrate Passover, remember me. So there's this expectation of a continuation of celebrating Passover, you know, and he says, when you celebrate Passover, remember me. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we know some different congregations that the only time they ever have communion is at Passover. We do it more often, you know, but we always make the point that we're actually, in a way, celebrating Passover right now in remembering the body and the blood of the Messiah, you know, and so that's, you know, very, very important. And interesting, here's a little just extra tidbit here. You ever wonder why is that, you know, why is it in 1 Corinthians that you read Messiah is our Passover sacrifice for us? And then when he says, let us continue to celebrate the feast, his hearers in Corinth must have had some kind of understanding of it for that whole section to make any sense, right? And interesting that he refers to the resurrection as first fruits in chapter 15. And in chapter 11, he talks about the Passover there. It's interesting because when the church at Corinth began, it began next to a synagogue. It says that, you know, in the book of Acts, when you read about it. And they begin to meet in his house. And so I think it's just very interesting that the believers at Corinth had some kind of understanding of this Jewish heritage, of this Jewish essence, when Paul talks about these things to the believers at Corinth. Very, very interesting.
This is some amazing information. I learned a lot of things today, and we really appreciate you coming on, and I would love to come and visit.
Well, we would love that. We're starting to meet again. We just began a limited attendance. You can go to our website, bethmessiah.org, you know, and find out about that, about visiting us. And hopefully as time goes on, it'll be, you know, more and more. But we have a lot of information on our website, bethmessiah.org. And then we have an adult continuing education program that is really stellar. I mean, we teach Hebrew, we teach Greek, we teach everything related to the Jewish heritage and essence of the faith. And it's called the Messianic Studies Institute. Mm-hmm. You'll find that on our website or at mjsi.org. And we offer all kinds of classes, you know, to help Messiah followers to deepen their walk with God by understanding the heritage and essence, the Jewish heritage and essence of our faith.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Howard, for coming on. We learned a lot during this podcast, and I can't wait to share it with our listeners. And we appreciate all the time and energy and effort that you put into this podcast.
Yes,
so thank you
very much.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure and blessing to be with you.
And to our listeners, you can find us on Facebook or on Instagram. We're on I'll bring the Bible.com now.
Yes.
Brand new website. So go ahead and check it out. We would love to have you join us and subscribe to our podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Le hit road.
Love it.
Perfect.
Everybody's going to say, what the heck was that? Right.
How do you say bye in Hebrew?
Shalom.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it's that.
It means hello, it's goodbye, and it means peace. Isn't that great?
She's going to record this on an outtake, let me tell you.
I didn't know that either. I was ready to hear it.
And then we were like, oh, yeah.
I was like ready to learn a new word.
Oh, I know. Sorry.